Okay, so we're in chapter 21 in the book, Unanswered Prayer. And the author talks about four places that you can find yourself, four places that unanswered prayer can lead to. And the first one he talked about is unanswered prayer can lead to a desert place. You can find yourself in this place holding on to hope and yet facing a different reality than what you thought you, than what you think you should be experiencing. And we understand that can be a really difficult place to be. And it's funny, we really work hard to get ourselves out of places like that. That's a place we just don't want to be. A second place he said you can find yourself when you have unanswered prayer is you can find yourself in denial. And I don't know about you, but I think we've all gone through this. How can this be happening to me? Something must be going wrong. I'm a child of God. This is some kind of mistake. And you just keep kind of pushing away the thought that maybe God is in the middle of your desert. Maybe he's in the middle of this situation, right? A lot of times we just go, yeah, that can't be true. Something else must be happening. And I've spoken about this so many times when we look at the promise of God. You know, we just see the promise of God, just all sunshine and flowers. But on the other side, there is this reality that we are going to face tribulation, that God does purge us through the refining of fire. So those two things sometimes are hard to connect together. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus had made comment to his disciples, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. And so as a believer, in this world you will have tribulation. And let me just say this. As a believer, there's just no way you're going to be able to sidestep difficulties in this world, in your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul said this. He said, I have concluded, and it's kind of interesting, but for Paul, this word has the idea, as he said, he's just kind of, he stepped back and he's taken this assessment, and I'm sure of his life, and he's saying, here's what I've concluded. The sufferings in this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Paul states, therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I think this often we have to understand that when difficulties are going on in our life, we seem to find our place, that we seem to find ourselves in this desert place. We always need to understand that there's always something else going on. Like Paul said, look, we're seeing what we're seeing, but there's so much that we don't see. And what we don't see is this, is that God is working all things together for the good of those that love him, for those who he has prepared for his glory. James says it this way in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then James goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, is there any among you that are suffering? That one, he should pray. So that's a good, exhortation for us. If you're suffering, anybody among you suffering, you need to pray. So another place is unanswered prayer can leave you or drive you to this determination to fix whatever is causing you pain, right? It's like you leave no stone unturned, and just by the sheer force of your will, you are going to change this. You are going to turn this around. You are going to get out of this, which often I'm humored by in my own life. So here's the truth. People of faith will have their time in the desert. It's just going to happen. That place between their hope and their reality. And I would really, you know, I think we all know this, but I would challenge anybody to walk through scriptures and try to find a person of faith who did not face some type of desert situation in their life. Where what they, and this is important, for what they hoped for was not their reality. And I think that's a lot of the problem, what we hope for and what our reality is. So, let me ask you this question. What comes to mind when you think about a physical, literal desert? A desert. What comes to your mind when you think about a desert? David? Lack of resources. Someone else? Lack of hope. Oh, if you're in a desert. A lot of sand. Aaron? Dryness. Okay. Anything else? All right. So we know that David... Oh, that's interesting. The nights are more comfortable in the desert than the days. That's an interesting thought. So basically, deserts really are ill-suited for humans, unprepared to deal with the extreme features that are in a desert. Lack of water, lack of vegetation is sparse, and all the documentaries I've ever saw on deserts is that most of the animals in a desert are predatory or poisonous. Just not fun, right? So now think about this. What comes to mind when you think about a desert in terms of the middle ground between hope in God's promise and your physical reality? So when we plug this into context, and we think about desert places compared to unanswered prayer or you being in some kind of difficulty, pain, or suffering in your life. What comes to your mind when you think about the term desert? We don't want to be there. That's right, I don't. Uncomfortable. David? There's no easy way out, right? Lack of, like when you said, just in a natural desert, there's a lack of water, there's a lack of refreshing. Anybody else have anything? It's just barren. Yeah. Yeah, you look every which way and all you see are dunes. Okay. So we know, or we've learned, that the desert experience always has a purpose. God always has a purpose for the desert experiences that we're in. He always has a purpose for what we perceive as unanswered prayer. So here's what I want you to discuss at your tables and kind of put your tables together to be able to do this however you'd wish, but In what we're talking about here, in terms of unanswered prayer, can you identify a desert experience in your life? Can you identify a period of time in your life where it seemed like God was not listening to you? Think about that. You could share that. And then I want you to share, what did you learn or what was the outcome of that experience for you in your life? Okay? You got that? All right, let's spend about 10, 15 minutes and let's kind of talk about that. So, everybody get an opportunity to share. So let me just ask in big picture, when you find your place in unanswered prayer, what are some of the big things we walk away with or we get an understanding about? What was at your guys' table? What was some of your takeaways? What was the learning or what did you walk away with during that season of unanswered prayer or that desert experience?
God does answer all your prayers.
But he asks not the way you may want.
Not the way you may want. And it's in his timing. Okay, that's good. Any others? Growth happens to us when we go through difficult times. True. Over here, kind of the same. Kind of came to the same thing. One of the big things was whether we understand or we don't understand, we don't let go because we trust. Even when we don't know and we can't see, we do trust. You know, biblically, when it talks about desert places, it can be a desert place can be a place of discipline or correction. You can find yourself there because of that, because you're not walking where you need to walk, and the blessings just cease. It can be a place of testing, and it can be a place of transformation. I think what we find most is that these deserts are the very places where God wants to get our attention. They happen to us. You know, we might be going on along. Often I've used the phrase, sometimes we get to the place where we're serving the blessings more than we are the blesser. And sometimes when that happens, you know, God's blessing your life and then you're just living your life, right? And God's going, whoa, that's not how that works. And sometimes the water spigot, so to speak, just begins to shut off because we're moving in a wrong direction. Often these desert places, when God is trying to get our attention, he knows where that's going to lead us, or we maybe grabbed a hold of something that's false, something that's not true, and he's trying to get us back to a truth, trying to get us back to where we need to be, and that is with our life in him. I came across this statement I thought was really good. Says that the desert experience is the great place of undoing. I thought that was really good. The great place of undoing. Like I said, sometimes we get to live in our lives doing what we need to be doing, and it is we find ourselves not living for God or in the will of God, but for ourselves. And those desert places have a place just to undo that in our life. And kind of it's a place where God has this ability to unclutter our life and bring us to some clarity. And so often the undoing is where, you know, all of us, when we get to those places where we're just, why is this taking place? You know, we can't understand that would happen. And there is, initially, when you're in those places, it takes a little while before you finally really get the place. I mean, right off the bat, you're going, God, why me? God, why me? But you're not really asking for answers. Really, that is just really code for stop it, get me out of it, whatever that is, right? And so, really, it is this... This undoing is where you begin to see and understand what really is true. And I think probably we all can have some experiences in our life where we have kind of got off course, got to places, started believing things, started embracing things. It really was not true, not really what God wanted out of our life. And God had to get in us a place where we just had no option but to humble ourselves and turn to Him, really open-hearted, and then say, Father, what's going on? So I notice a lot when I run into it with people that are facing crisis or difficulties. Initially, it is just a lot of crying out, but it's not really heartfelt crying out. It is more desperation and pain crying and less really searching for truth. So it takes a little while to get to that place where it's really a search for truth. Father, truly, what is going on in my life? Now, Ron said this, and I have it in my notes. See, I do not believe in unanswered prayers, right? I just don't believe in them. I probably, like you, I believe that they are your unrealized expectations. They are your unrealized expectations in the time frame that you want them to take place. And that's a conversation it sounds like you had around your table. You know, one of the things when you get to that desert place and you're really having to come in a real honesty before God, you know, you're saying, Father, I just really want to know what's going on. You know, some people run from that. They don't really want to know what's going on. But for me, this is me, I would rather really know the truth. I'd really rather know the truth about me or my situation. I would really rather God say, well, you're just being an idiot. You're being selfish. You're being whatever, whatever, whatever. Or this is happening because you have been, and this is what you need to learn. I'd rather know the truth instead of walking around fooling myself by what only I can see and understand. So, you know, again, you're in a painful situation in this desert place. Again, just think about it in your own life. When it first started, your crying out really wasn't for anything but to get you out of it. But somewhere along the line, you had to come and you just had to push it all aside, take a deep breath and say, okay, Father, I'm ready to listen now. Right? Do you ever notice that when with your kids? In disciplined situations with their kids? You know, it's like they just their ears seem to be plugged. But after a while, it kind of sinks in and they go, they're ready now to listen. And so I think a lot of that happens with us as well. Let's think about, and we brought it, it was brought up at our in our group, just a couple of the most significant desert experience in the scripture, the most significant one. Well, it was Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. Right? There was this desert between Israel's bondage in Egypt and the land that God has had promised to them. And here's something that I want us to think about. I never really caught this until just this last couple weeks. I've been thinking about this, and the scriptures label this time as their wandering in the desert, right? Israel's wandering in the desert. Well, the term wandering means to travel aimlessly from place to place. Well, let me just ask you this question. Was that true? Was Israel truly just wandering from place to place? Were they just aimlessly going from place to place? Well, I think that that's yes and no. It's yes in that they may have seemed to be traveling aimlessly, because what were they doing? When the pillar of cloud by day would get up and move, they just... Think about that. I don't remember, you know, there's lots of speculations about how many people were in Israel at that time. But let's just say no matter how many it was. But let's just say at a minimum it was 100,000 people. Let's say at a minimum it was only 20,000 people. Just think about this. You got 20,000 people camping and then the cloud starts to move.
You know, they're just going about their day and the cloud starts to move. Then it's, whoa, hey, everybody pack up and let's go. They were just following the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They may have seemed to have no idea what was going on, and they may have seemed to think that they were traveling aimlessly, but that wasn't true because God was guiding them. He was guiding them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And I think this is the thing that we discussed, that we found at our table, and I'm sure you found at yours, and I'm sure that Israel found when they were in the desert, and that is this. God was with them in the desert. Now, they were still in the desert. They were still in the desert, but God was with them in the desert, and that made all the difference in the world. So in our life, with the things that we struggle with these desert experiences and times of unanswered prayer, what we do need to realize is that God has not abandoned us. He's not left. He is with us. And so He was with them. He was there for their direction. He was there for their for light at night, for provision, their food and their clothing, and also He was there speaking to them through Moses. Now, I think a truth for me is that God uses the deserts to bring us to spiritual realities. Paul said, made the comment, he said, the things which are seen, they're just temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. So often what we see and the truth that we can see with our own eyes is very different than the truth that truly is. And so sometimes I think that God uses the deserts to bring us to these spiritual realities, bring us to certain truths. And so at our table, when we were discussing, we learned this truth that He can be trusted. And at the onset, sometimes it's like we're a little apprehensive to know if God even hears us or God sees us. Now, also about the desert is at times God uses the desert to strip us away from the draw of the material world that's around us, so that our hearts are once again just turned fully to Him and help us to see what is truly important. We get so caught up in life, we get caught up in so many things that just, they really don't matter. And so sometimes I think deserts, when it strips away everything else and you have nothing else, it brings you down to certain truths. If you're in the desert, you need certain basic things, right, to survive. And I think sometimes we go through things to get us to places for us to understand some simple truths. This is truly what is important. This is truly what we need as believers. All that other stuff doesn't really make a difference. Now, remember when Israel, you know, they had their fall and they were carried into Babylonian captivity. They were in Babylonian captivity, and before they were released from their captivity, there were certain prophets that were speaking into the lives of the believers there, and Isaiah was one of them. And Isaiah called that place of captivity where they were at was a wilderness. And they were there specifically because of their rebellion and their turning away from God. They were there because of that. And Isaiah called it a wilderness. In that place, God was calling them out of that wilderness, revealing the truths they needed to see so that they might find their way back to Him out of the desert place. So again, one of the reasons we find ourselves in difficult places is because our hearts have turned away from God. We're rebelling up against Him at something. And God's intention in that always is to help us to get our attention, to help us see truth so that He can take us out of it. Okay? And then we understand in the New Testament, Remember when it says this in Matthew 4:1? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted of the devil. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It was God's purpose. It was the Spirit of God's purpose to lead Jesus to this place of testing. And I always think it's interesting, you know, you can look through it and Jesus did all the right things in the desert place, but he was still there for 40 days. Even doing the right things, he was still there for a season. But I think it's interesting in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it says, at the end of it, the devil left him and ministering angels came to minister to him. Well, in Luke's translation, in Luke's version of it, it says this after his wilderness experience. Jesus left the wilderness, returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread through the whole countryside. So this whole idea of Jesus being in the desert, even being led into the desert, was a place of testing, but it was a place that he gained strength and power from God through. And that was one of the things that was brought out at our table as well. Now, let me just take a few minutes to cause us to think about this. I'm kind of going to end with this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And these verses are when Adam and Eve, they fell to the temptation of the devil. And they were in the garden. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were hiding from God. Remember that? They were hiding from God because of their sin, because of their nakedness. They realized that they were naked. And it says that God was walking during the cool of the day in the garden. He was walking about in the garden, looking for man whom he had created. And initially, you know, you might not take a lot into this, but I think it reveals more than maybe what we can immediately see. I think this there's a simple down-to-earth truth that we can miss, that I think it's powerful truth that we can miss. And that is that God hopes to encounter us in and through the world he created to be our home, no matter where we are or what has happened. So here's man, he's created me, he's living in a perfect situation, and he blows it. And where was God? God was where he always was, walking about in the garden so that he could have this relationship with man. Now, man had sinned, but God was still in the garden looking for man to have relationship for him, even though that had taken place, right? And so when His intentions are to always bring us to himself, to help us see more clearly the truth of where we are or what has happened or what is truly taking place. So this call to man, when he said, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God didn't know where they were, but his call to them was so that they might realize where they were and what had happened and the truth of what had taken place. So, again, I don't believe in unanswered prayer. I think that always God hears and responds when we call to him. And again, I think there's a gap between our hope and reality. The only way that we're going to find our way out of it is through the Father. There's no way we're going to figure it out on our own. There's just too many forces against us. There's the pain and difficulty of life. There's confusion or disillusionment. There's the devil that's trying to guide us in wrong ideas about what was going on. So the reality is that the Father, only the Father can bring us clarity when we are in those places. That's why I think that James said, "If is anybody suffering? Are you in tricky spots, these places where you wish not to be? Well, what you need to do is pray." So for me, my draw out of all this was this. When we are in those places, when there's unanswered prayer in our life, when there's pain, when there's difficulty in our life, there is this desert place between our hope and reality, the place that we need to get to is this place of surrender. And it is surrender to the Father, because He alone knows where we are and what we need to find our way out. He alone knows that. We don't. Well, Father, You are an amazing God, and sometimes when it's difficult, we don't, you know, we like to think God works all things together for good, that I love Him and called according to His purpose. We like to think that it's blessing, 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 blessing. But sometimes Your work behind the scenes and what You're doing, the good that You're working out, is purging in our life. It's removing foolishness from our heart. It's causing our ears to be dull to the sound of the world around us. There is some kind of something in our life that had been instilled in our life from long ago that is not true, that You're wanting just to eradicate, You're wanting to take out of our life, and it's painful because we got to just walk through a lot of things that remind us of it so that we can get to the reality that it was never our fault, that where we are, that's not how it is any longer, because we're new creatures in Christ. You're our Father, and You have a different destiny for us, and You have different intentions for us, and You see only the good that You are working out in us. And so, Father, I'm asking that as we continue to trust You with our lives, and we continue to encourage those around us to trust You, that we can remember that You are always with us, even in the desert places, even in our rebellion, even in our sin, for one reason, to just purge the things out of our life so that You can put the things in our life that need to be there so we can find our place with You, fully trusting You, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have an amazing week.